Good morning. Yeah, I am a sheepdog. That comes from early in my ministry. It comes from a philosophy of ministry that came out of ordination. Jesus is the good shepherd. I'm just one of the sheepdogs. And that's the way it's been. I've been known as a sheepdog for a long time. And when I retired from congregational ministry, I established a not-for-profit called Sheepdog Ministries, whose focus is to give assistance to pastors that are on medical leave or sabbatical or on vacation, also to give assistance to congregations that are in transition between pastors or transition between worship styles or how they're going to minister to their community. So we've been doing that for the last a little over a year. I retired just over a year ago. Great Is Thy Faithfulness song by Thomas Chisholm. You sang earlier, not only is God's faithfulness great, but I don't know whether you realize it or not, but your pastor, Dave, his faithfulness is great too. And I just have a feeling that if the surgery hadn't been on Friday, if it had been earlier in the week, he'd probably be here. And I know he's on the radio or listening on the radio right now, but he's on enough medication, you'll probably forget this before next week. Now, see, you're all really good Baptists because you're in the back. And that's the way good Baptists do. They all go in the back. If you want to just really wind him up next week when he comes back, move up to the front. And every opportunity you get in his message, give him an amen. It'll be like sick him to a hound dog. He would just go nuts. It'll probably be the best therapy he could get. So you just remember that next week. Some of you move down close and get your amens wound up real good. And God will tell you where to get them in the right spot. But you try that. I want to read this morning from Mark chapter 10. It's right at the end of the chapter. Jesus has been traveling through the countryside. He's about to enter Jerusalem for the last week of his life. And he's in the town of Jericho, and he's had to deal with some contentious disciples who still don't understand that his kingdom is not here. They've been asking, well, can we be prime minister and chief of staff and all that kind of stuff in your new kingdom? And Jesus had to clarify that. And as they're leaving the city of Jericho, now Jesus has become somewhat of a celebrated personage in the area, and he came to the town of Jericho, and the crowds were there. And as he's leaving, the crowd is giving him a great farewell parade, if you will. They're just all walking out of the town with him. They're leaving the city. They have been blessed as a town to have this great teacher, this great leader, Jesus, there, one who does miracles and all sorts of other things. They don't have a clue yet either. But as they're leaving the city, Mark and Matthew and Luke all record this incident. But I want to read it from Mark. And I'll explain why I want it from Mark later. Chapter 10, starting with verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting in the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up. Get on your feet. He's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said. "Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Pray that God will give us some understanding here in all of this. This is. I have to be careful. I know I'm on the radio and I like to wander around. I have to stay centered on the mic. This may be hard for those people out there who keep hearing me fade in and out. Sorry about that, y'all out there. Okay. Bartimaeus, his name means son of honored one. His father's name was Timaeus. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, son of honored one. But there's a problem with that because being blind in that society meant you must have done something wrong, or your parents must have done something wrong. That's why you were afflicted with this particular illness. So that was kind of a dishonoring thing for his family. Plus, he was a beggar. The only means of support he had was to beg. He could not beg within the city of Jericho, so he had to sit just outside the city gates, along with probably several other beggars that were there, and beg for enough financial support to maintain his life. But he was hardly giving honor to his family. Can you imagine Timaeus, whose son Bartimaeus is now a beggar, and Timaeus is supposed to be honored one? Can you imagine him in the city as he's going about his daily activities, maybe standing around talking to the guys, having a cup of coffee or something, and somebody, one of his friends, rides up in his cart with a bumper sticker on the back that said, "Father of a proud honor student at Jericho High School"? Or maybe another one of the men standing there starts talking about his son who has just become a lawyer in Jerusalem. Or another one whose son just finished rabbinical school and has become a rabbi in another town. And they look at Timaeus and they go, "Oh, honored one, Timaeus, what's your son doing?" And he kind of looks at the ground and kind of kicks the dirt. You know, and he's in charity work. "Well, really? Well, where?" "Well, his office is just outside the city." And then somebody, you know, light bulb goes off, and they get the picture. "Oh, yeah, got it. Your son is the beggar who sits outside the city." Hardly an honor for his family or an honor for the city. So here's Timaeus having to deal with the dishonor of maybe a son who hasn't lived up to his expectations or others' expectations, but how does he deal with it? Well, as far as we know, it doesn't seem to bother him. He's still his son. We've all had children who have done things that perhaps we would choose them not to do. And if you haven't, you are richly blessed. And if you have, join the club, because we've been there. So now, the crowd is coming out of the city with Jesus. And as they're coming out of the city, this man, this beggar, they are there with this VIP traveling out of the city. And this beggar starts shouting, yelling out, "Jesus, Son of David." Now, this is a VIP. They're trying to show him some dignity and respect. And here is a beggar calling him out by name. He's not just one of the regular beggars going, "Alms, alms." He singles out Jesus. "Jesus, Son of David." Son of David is a term for the Messiah. God sent one. You see, the people in the city, and even Jesus' disciples at this point, really didn't have the whole picture of who and what Jesus really was about. They were not clued into what his attitudes and values and motives were, that he was and is God. They weren't fully clued into that. And here's Bartimaeus, who is physically blind but has the spiritual insight and the spiritual vision to see who Jesus really is. He had heard stories about Jesus, I'm sure. And as he heard those stories, he began to reflect on that and realize this is a man who is sent from God. This is the Messiah. And he calls him out. Without sight, he could see. And those with sight completely missed who Jesus was. Going on, the crowd says to Bartimaeus, "Be quiet! Shh, shh, shh. Don't! No, this is a big shot. Leave him alone! Don't say that. You know, you're going to dishonor him. You're going to, you know, diminish the dignity of the town. Don't say that. You know, it's kind of like when your kids say stuff, maybe in church or in another meeting. Go, shh! Don't say that. Or you're at the Walmart and your four-year-old says, "Daddy, look at what those people are wearing in the Walmart." You go, "Shh, don't say that out loud. Ooh, that guy's big. He might come hurt us." You know how that is. And they're saying to Bartimaeus, they're saying, "Shh, be quiet. Don't bother the master." He did not listen to the crowd. He called out again, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't pay attention to the crowd. Sometimes it's good to not pay attention to the crowd. Not pay attention to what everybody else is telling you. You remember the story of David when he went to the camp to take some groceries to his brothers who were at Saul's camp, and they were confronted by Goliath? And the whole camp was afraid to go out to meet Goliath. And David says, I'll go out to meet Goliath. And his brother said, oh, you're nothing but a punk kid. You can't do anything. Don't even try. And David ignored them. And we know how that story ended. David ignored them because he knew God was more powerful than anything else out there in this world. Bartimaeus knew that God was more powerful and that God was in Jesus, and God was more powerful and Jesus was more powerful than anything the crowds could say to dissuade him. He calls out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus goes, come here. Bring him here. And look at what the crowd does. Look what the crowd does here. It says, Jesus stopped and said, call him over. So they called the blind man and said, cheer up, get on your feet, he's calling you. Imagine, how fickle is this crowd? First they're telling Bartimaeus, shh, don't bother this guy. He's important and you're a beggar. Don't bother him. And now they're going, they're all running over to help him up. They're all running over, going, come on, let me help you up. Putting their arms around him, patting him on the back. They want to be Bartimaeus' friend because Jesus has acknowledged Bartimaeus personally, and they want to get in on some of that personal acknowledgement from Jesus. Fickle crowd like everybody else. As people, we have a pretty short attention span. You know that? We tend to flow back and forth depending upon what's most popular, what's most culturally acceptable, what's most socially acceptable. We do it in church. We jump back and forth from one bandwagon to the other. Our methods need to change sometime, but our message has got to stay the same. It is Jesus, death and resurrection for the salvation of the souls of humanity. The method can change, but the message doesn't need to and should never change. But anyhow, I'm getting off track here. I'll run out of time if I'm not careful. The crowd is fickle like our culture is fickle. Now, we're about to start the Indiana High School Basketball Tournament. You know, and last year everybody was so thrilled and so excited about the high school basketball tournament. Can anybody here tell me who won Indiana's high school basketball tournament last year? Homestead. Layton Stockton's in 2A. Who won 2A last year? Anybody know that? Gurren Catholic. See, it's just been a year. Everybody probably knew that for a week or so. Then they went on to something else. Who was Miss America last year? A few of you might know who won the Super Bowl this year. Who won it 2 years ago? See? We change. We're back and forth. And the crowd was fickle, and Bartimaeus didn't listen to the crowd, and it's a good thing. The crowd was hanging around with Jesus, but they didn't have a clue about Jesus' attitudes and values. Jesus cares about absolutely everyone. The crowd didn't care about Bartimaeus. They just cared about hanging out with Jesus at that point. Jesus calls out to him, calls him over there. And he says to Bartimaeus, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Now, Jesus didn't ask this question because he needed information. Anytime God asks a question in Scripture, it's not because God needs information. He already has the information. Jesus already knew what Bartimaeus wanted. He was asking Bartimaeus to identify and articulate what he wanted. James says you don't have because you don't ask. Maybe we don't have because we don't ask. People say, well, what if I ask for something and it's not in God's will? God will not give you what is not good for you. He's not in the habit of doing that. If it's not good for you, you're not going to get it. God's answer to your prayer is, nope. Sometimes his answer to your prayer is, you're going to have to wait a while. We don't have because we don't ask. We don't go to God. We don't articulate what our real desire is. If we ask incorrectly, God will not give it to us. And his Spirit will identify where it's incorrect. So he says, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, Rabbi, I want to see. The word he uses for rabbi here, the word Bartimaeus uses for rabbi here is my rabbi. It's an identifying word, identifying term within the word that says, my rabbi, I want to see. My Jesus, I want to see. My Savior, I want to see. There are an awful lot of people all around us, sometimes in the church, who know that Jesus is the Savior, but they have never taken the time to identify him and say, he is my Savior, or ask him to be my Savior. Bartimaeus makes it personal. He says, my rabbi, you are my rabbi. Not the one from the synagogue in town here. You are my rabbi because you are God's Messiah. You are the one. You are God himself. So I want to see. And immediately, he's healed. He can see. And it says he followed Jesus in the road, which meant he went down the road with Jesus from Jericho to Jerusalem and experienced that whole next week, from the high of the entry into Jerusalem to the low of Friday and the crucifixion of Jesus to the unimaginable resurrection on Easter morning. So what can we take from this? What is there in this for us today, now? One of the first things we can take from this is, you know what? Hanging out with Jesus does not mean you have his attitudes and values and motives. The crowd was hanging out with Jesus. The crowd was traveling along with Jesus, but they did not have his attitudes and his values and motives. They were not in deep relationship with him. Sometimes we hang out with Jesus, but we suspend seeking his values. And sometimes we have concerns for people we know, for people we like, for people who are like us. But our concern stops there. And our concern is not for everyone. Jesus is concerned about everyone. Jesus died even for the people who hated him, while they still hated him. And there are people around us who hate Jesus and hate everything about Jesus. That doesn't mean we have to agree with them or become friends with them, but we should care about them and we should be praying for them, because that's the only thing that's going to change anything when it comes to that. How often have we refrained from asking God of what the need of our heart and life is, what our spiritual need is? How often have we refrained from asking God, just saying clearly and plainly? Part of the time we don't ask God for what we know our spiritual need is because we're afraid to admit it to ourselves. We're afraid to admit we're blind to some things. God, give me your eyes. Give me your heart. Give me your attitude and your values and your motives. Sometimes we don't have that. And sometimes we let things in our life that are important, that are necessary, but we let them take priority over our relationship with Jesus. There's a huge thing that happens in this story that's often overlooked. It says, the people called the blind man and said, cheer up, get on your feet, he's calling you. And the very next thing it says is, throwing his coat aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. His coat is what he laid on the ground in front of him while he was begging. That's where people would put coins in when they were contributing to his need. His coat was his business. That was his sole means of support. The only way he had of supporting himself, of having food to eat and possibly a warm place to stay each night, was the money that was put into that coat, into his business. That was his business. That was his livelihood. And what did he do? As soon as he heard that Jesus was calling him, he threw that aside. He threw it away. Here, take my business. Here, take all my money. Here, take my coat. I don't need that anymore because I am being called by Jesus. He did not let the crowd get in his way, and he did not let anything else in his life get in his way. Something that was important and necessary in his life, a livelihood. But he threw it to the side. And said, Jesus is more important. I want him to be the focus of my life. What is in your way of having Jesus the focus of your life? Is it your business? Is it your success? Maybe your talent? Maybe something else? What is in the way of Jesus being the center? I'm not saying that the other things in your life are not important. They are. Our home, our family, our friends, our community, they are all incredibly important, and we need to be involved in all of those. But if Jesus is not the focal point of all of that, if he is not at the top of that pyramid, then things are not going to be in line the way they ought to be. What's in your way? Maybe it's your friends. You know, are you, do you have the same attitude when you're out fishing with your buddies? Or out hunting? Or when you're sitting in your little coffee club or your card club or your book club or whatever kind of club you're in, you know? Is Jesus the center of everything and his attitudes and values the center of everything? Or do when you get together in your little group, do you share in love? Now, you know what that is, don't you? When Christians share in love, I want to share this in love with you. It's gossip. Because if you're not a part of the problem and you're not a part of the solution and you're talking about it, it's gossip. If Jesus is at the focus, if his attitudes are at the focus, that doesn't come out. But we're all human. It does come out. And we need to go to Jesus. And when he says, what do you want? We need to ask him, keep my mouth shut. Just keep my mouth shut. Bartimaeus didn't let anything. He didn't let the crowd. He didn't let his business. He didn't let his family disgrace. He didn't let his name. He didn't let anything get in the way of him being with Jesus when Jesus said, what do you want? Come here. And Bartimaeus changed the world. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all write about the story of the healing of the blind man in Jericho. Only Mark uses Bartimaeus' name. You see, Matthew's gospel was basically written for Jewish readers, for Hebrew readers in Palestine, in the area. Luke's gospel was mostly written toward Gentiles, especially a Greek community in Asia Minor. Mark's gospel was written after he had been with Paul in Rome, and it was written to the Christians of Rome. Because he had been there and they desired to know about Jesus and more about Jesus. He wrote his gospel and it was to the Christians in Rome. And he uses Bartimaeus' name because those people in Rome knew who Bartimaeus was. Now that's kind of conjecture, but you've got to stop and think about it. Why else would he use his name when that was his specific audience? He used the name of Bartimaeus because the people of Rome had an acquaintance or a knowledge of who Bartimaeus was. I can assume, probably fairly close, that Bartimaeus was one of the people who either accompanied Paul when he went to Rome and helped establish churches in Rome, or Bartimaeus went there before Paul got there and helped establish some of the churches that were already going before Paul got there in prison. Bartimaeus, blind man, sitting by the road, having dishonored his family, dishonored his town, having called out Jesus, been ridiculed by the crowd. Bartimaeus, who was physically blind, but spiritually could see who Jesus really was. When he met Jesus, when he called Jesus out as his Messiah, when he allowed Jesus to become the focal point of who he was, he changed the world. And so can each of you. One of my favorite scenes in the miniseries, The Bible, is when Jesus and Peter are out in the boat, and Peter's been fishing and caught nothing, and Jesus said, throw your net down in the water, and Peter says, it won't do any good, but all right. Jesus waves his hand in the water, And Peter hauls in this net that is so full of fish, it is about to swamp his boat. And he looks at Jesus and he says, okay, what do we do now? And Jesus' response, change the world. Bartimaeus changed the world. Quit listening to the crowd. Quit following the group. Quit letting anything stand between you and Jesus as the focal point of your relationship with Him. And He will change the world through you. He will change the world at First Baptist. He will change the world in Linton. He will change the world. Bow with me, please. Lord Jesus, we pray that You would impress upon our hearts the tenacity of Bartimaeus, the focus that he had. And that when You ask us what we want, we would allow Your Spirit to teach us what we truly need to ask for, so that the power of Your Spirit in us would lead us to follow only You, make You the priority over everything else, so that You, through us, can change the world. Amen.